"Will the music superintendent lead us in the first hymn?" he said. Sebo rose from his pew and walked down the center aisle, stopping in front of us and facing the congregation. He was carrying a battered hymn book. He opened it and said, "We'll sing number 273. This was too much for me.
"How are we going to sing it if there ain't any hymn books?"
Calpurnia smiled.
"Hush, baby," she whispered. "You'll see in a minute."
Sebo cleared his throat and read in a voice like the rumble of distant artillery, "There's a land beyond the river." Miraculously on pitch, 100 voices sang out Zebo's word. The last syllable, held to a husky hum, was followed by Sebo saying, "That we call the sweet forever." Music again swelled around us. The last note lingered, and Sebo met it with the next line, "And we only reach that shore by faith's decree." The congregation hesitated. Sebo repeated the line carefully, and it was sung. At the chorus, Sebo closed the book, a signal for the congregation to proceed without his help. On the dying notes of jubilee, Sebo said, "In that far-off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river." Line for line, voices followed in simple harmony until the hymn ended in a melancholy murmur. I looked at Jem, who was looking at Sebo from the corners of his eyes. I didn't believe it either, but we had both heard it. Reverend Sykes then called on the Lord to bless the sick and the suffering, a procedure no different from our church practice, except Reverend Sykes directed the deity's attention to several specific cases. His sermon was a forthright denunciation of sin, an austere declaration of the motto on the wall behind him. He warned his flock against the evils of heady brews, gambling, and strange women. Bootleggers caused enough trouble in the quarters, but women were worse. Again, as I had often met it in my own church, I was confronted with the impurity of women doctrine that seemed to preoccupy all clergymen.